All right, so ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode of Men's Truth. Actually excited about this one. This one is going to be a very serious conversation, but very necessary conversation. Before I invite a very special guest, as usual, I need to introduce my colleagues, my brethren, Mr. Michael Natou, the journalist, the poet, and as usual, Mr. Kyle Ellis, financial and sales coach. And with us today, we have someone who has been on the live challenging us. She's a licensed clinician, marriage and family therapist, Mrs. Marjan Sifra, aka MJ. It's a pleasure to have you on. And the topic that we're
Agreed.
going to be discussing today is communication in relationships. This has been a topic that people have been asking for, and we just feel like it's the right time to talk about it now. Just today I was having a conversation and the person was saying men don't communicate. I was going to attempt to break down what communication is and what it isn't, and then I said, you know what? Might as well we have the conversation in the podcast and I can just send that link to that person and they can hear it from all sides. So I just wanted to start a bit with MJ's experience, general experience. When you sit down with couples, what are some of the general communication issues that you've experienced?
I think typically just not understanding each other, people have really poor conflict management skills. And there's always some power dynamic in relationships that prevents mutual understanding and just compassion.
Is it that, people come into the relationship with certain expectations, and that sort of forms a barrier?
I think yes, but there's more to it than that, right? You just mentioned that someone said men don't communicate well. And part of it is, I think none of us learn to communicate well in general. Our parents are from a generation where they were seen and not heard, and they parent us a little bit like that, typically. I think you're lucky if you have a parent who engages you in communication that is challenging and understanding and compassionate. And part of how we learn is through practice and experience. And when we don't have people to guide that, we become poor communicators. So that's one part of it.
So the perception is that men don't communicate. And have you ever encountered a situation wherein the perception was distorting the reality? Because oftentimes, because we are perceived that particular way, when we are in some cases good communicators, communicate at
Or
all.
assumptions influence or thoughts and behaviors, right? So this is getting way too technical, but or thoughts, emotions, and behaviors are constantly influencing each other. If I think you're a bad communicator, I'm already going to feel a certain way about communicate. That's going to impact how I feel about communicating with you, and will then impact how I communicate with you. So to answer your question, that's like a long-winded way to answer that question, but yes, our assumptions about people influence how we interact with them, especially if we're not challenging assumptions.
Right, because I remember seeing this quote that, the biggest misconception about communication is that it has happened. And so, I'm wondering how much of a factor that plays because, when we think about relationships and communicating in relationships, I think people think about communication and relationships specifically in relation to conflict in relationships. There's a knee-jerk reaction when you find that there are difficulties in communicating. There's a knee-jerk reaction for people to simply just go to the fact that because in this particular instance, we're having a difficulty getting our messages across to each other, like ultimately you are now a bad communicator, and that is in a time of conflict. And they do so at the expense of other times where communication has actually aided the relationship to
I think
progress or to mature in some other way. So
I think part of it is you only know how strong a skill is when it's tested, right? So when things are going well, you don't have to be a great communicator because there's so many other parts of the relationship that provides nourishment and joy and is fulfilling. And so part of it is your communication skills get tested when there's conflict. And if you're a bad communicator, that's when it's going to show.
Have you
Yeah, that
experienced
makes
any
sense.
major differences between the way men approach talking about things versus women?
Every single session. And so I
Mm-hmm.
actually made the comment literally last week. If another man comes to my session and says emotions are not important, I'm just going to stop working because every single male client will come to session and share that emotions are not valid, emotions are the cause of the conflict, emotions prohibit resolution. Emotions show weakness, and so that is one of the major differences I see with my male clients. A lot of another difference that I see is that when
Do you think that's just a smoke screen because they really don't want to be there?
it could be, but part of it is I think it has a lot to do with how we're socialized, right? So men are told from their babies, like to not cry, to man up, to toughen up. And usually, those things, being a man and being tough, usually is incongruent to showing emotion. And so it's now they've been trained all their lives to see it as weakness or manipulation. And so I see that a lot. I don't know, it could be a smoke screen, but I know that a huge part of it is how we're socialized. The other difference that
I
I see is oftentimes a woman will come home and just want to vent,
what
and a
in
man will see that as time-consuming, unproductive, very emotionally draining. Unproductive, and they men are problem solvers, and the wife don't want them to problem solve. I didn't come to you and say, hey, give me a solution to this problem. I just want you to hear me and validate me. And so I see that a lot in my couples where a woman will just be looking for validation and she never gets it because the husband goes straight into problem solving.
So help us to understand then, what does validation look like coming from a man in those situations?
And so I come to you and I said, so and so is so horrible. My boss, like, I can't, my boss is such a horrible person. I can't work with them anymore. I don't want you to tell me to, okay, let's go find a new job or go quit tomorrow. I want you to say, yeah, it sucks so bad that, like, that person's horrible. Right. And so validation is just the acknowledgement that I'm having a hard day to say, I hear you. That must be really hard to put yourself in my emotional shoes to think, to say, okay, this is what she's saying. So this might be what she's feeling, and try to communicate that to me so I know you're understanding me, right? To say, that
So,
must be
but
really hard.
in my experience, when I say I get it, I understand, I've also been accused of being disconnected because it's like, don't you have anything else to say? Is that all you have to say?
So part of it
Yep.
is restating what I've said. I hear that you're feeling unhappy, right? Because that you always when someone shares an emotion word with you, you cling to that and you reiterate it in some form or fashion. So I hear that you are sad. Being sad sucks. I hate being sad, so I get how you. When you say I get it, that seems really flippant. You're not actually connecting to anything you said.
So okay, so you said something a while ago, like hold on to an emotion, an emotion would, right? So these are, so you're saying these are the things that we need to sort of connect with in order to speak the language of a woman who, okay, I get that.
So listen, I don't mean to be callous or anything, but essentially, MJ, what you're basically saying is say the obvious thing.
If only just to reassure me that you heard me, you were actually listening, right? And so it's just to say, you know what, I'm here in this conversation. I heard that you said these things.
Okay.
And then you empathize with that. So I heard it, and that sounds awful. That sounds terrible. That's unfortunate. If I was in your position, I'd feel the same way.
Where does empathy then become insincerity? Like, when you said men are problem solvers, but if I decide I hear you and I feel you and I have a solution, or I think there's a solution that I'm itching to say to you, do I then not say anything because at this point the only truth you want to hear is the truth that you are telling me that you want me to say back to you?
So part of it is problem solving cannot precede understanding. So if you feel the need and you're itching at that point to share the solution, then the validation must come first. And she has to feel, your partner, it could be a man, they have to feel that you heard them before you can problem solve. How can you give me a solution to something I don't think you understand?
In other words, you're saying then I should wallow in our problem with Arden.
You don't have to wallow, you empathize. Yes, sit with the emotion.
Yeah, but I feel like okay.
So what makes it difficult?
No, I feel like here's where I think the big disconnect, because I'm listening to you, and to me, I get what you're saying. And at one point, when Steph's empathy becomes, what the word do you use, Steph?
Insincerity.
Insincere, right? Because I am one that, all right, you have a problem, you come to me, fine. You see, men and women communicate differently. Yes, we're going to acknowledge that you have a problem. The problem is there. Okay, cool. Come off of the problem now, and we move past the problem or figure out how to, because that's how a man, pretty much mine works, right? So, but I feel that you women tend to want to stay in that problem mode a little bit too long, and it becomes an annoyance to the man.
How very typical of you, Ken.
But he raises a valid point. Like, so we hear
a man will. You have an issue. Right. Fine. Okay, babe, you have an issue at work.
Can I challenge perfect you, Karen?
Exactly. We listen to you for 10, 15 minutes, and then we say, okay. All right, so I'll say, okay, and just me saying, okay, I hear you. Is that argument going to be started?
Because, you know why? What? Because it's like, she has not felt...
What do you mean?
Adequately validated.
But I sit down and listen to you for 15 minutes.
How do I know that you are listening if you have not validated?
Something else. That is validation to me. Me sitting down and listening to your problem for 15 minutes and saying, okay, baby, I understand what you're going through. I'm going to stop and look at you.
I want to hear the inverse, MJ.
Mm-hmm.
For men who are like ourselves, who are able to open up and vent, is it then the same standard if a man tells us what's going through and he wants to hear a solution from her perspective and she can't offer that? How do you treat with that situation?
So part of it, right? What makes you think that she can't offer a solution? One, and I'll get back to that, but let me answer your question. Part of it, and this is something I teach my clients, that when someone starts venting or sharing these emotions, it is completely okay to say, are you wanting for me to listen, or are you wanting me to come up with a solution. It is completely okay for you to proceed your response with that, right? Because sometimes maybe I do want a solution, right? But sometimes I just want to vent. So it is okay, and that's something that you can introduce in the relationship, that you both know, like, this is the standard that I'm going to ask, so I'm meeting you, I'm better able to meet your need, right? So,
let me just jot
that but out. Part of it, again, what makes you think that she's not capable of offering solutions?
No, I didn't say I think so, and I'm saying in a scenario where the man decides to open up, and all he is hearing is the woman saying, you know, can't believe this happened. Me would have feel this, that, and the other, instead of actually hearing, maybe if you
maybe could have done this, approach it like this.
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of times, and I think in our private discussions, we've said that this is something, right or wrong, that we judge women off of. Like, if it is that you can't respond to me in a way that is pragmatic enough, then chances are I am not going to open up to a certain level again. Because in my mind, you are not offering me a value contribution.
That brings us to the next communication difficulty, right? We are really crappy at asking for what we need in our relationships. We assume that the person knows us so well that they should know that when I approach something this way, this is what I want. We're really horrible at that.
Yeah.
We don't come.
And it's not even in the relationship from day one. Sometimes we have these expectations, right? Like, how dare you know that this is what I would want from day one? You know?
You know what? I want to be a little depth right now. Because I feel most of the time the woman are the ones that feel like the men are the mind readers. It is expected of us to know. Everything under the sun, and know when you feel in certain ways.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest with you, I mean, men, I can speak from my experience and other men that, you know, we talk and whatever. We really don't expect you all to know shit, because we actually tell you how we feel when a certain way. We're very straightforward with it.
It's not that I expect you to read my mind, because that's unfair. But part of it is this person must be, that they were able to think about this need that isn't even here yet.
It comes down to it not being romantic. You know, because I think we can make a connection there. Because, you know, I've had situations where I've listened to a woman talk, and after listening to her talk and deducing what it is that she wants, and then I say, oh, so what you want is, for example, what you want is some cheesecake right now or some ice cream. She's like, yo, why did you say that? Like, why didn't you just get it? And I'm like, yo, we are having a conversation right now, so.
So if you already know that, like, why not just look at the ice cream for me if you're going to be thoughtful about it? And part of it, I think, goes back to love languages, and that's a whole different, like, I could go on about that for a long time. But the way love or romance is communicated is going to really depend on what my love languages are, and what I find really, or not necessarily what I appreciate, but what connects with me most. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So maybe words of affirmation is my love language, and you say, oh, you really want ice cream? And I'm like, yeah, that it feels good that you just acknowledge that. But maybe it's acts of service, and I'm sitting here like, yeah, so go get it, you know?
I don't view it with as much vitriol as Natu. Like, I feel good knowing that I've deduced the right thing, right? That's not the issue I have. My issue is when I've gotten so used to that deduction, and you, then you realize that I've stopped asking you things, then it no longer becomes something that you want. And then it's about I am not listening and I'm not paying attention. This is I don't like to use the word train, but this is the setting. I think this is one of the settings, one of the context that I would use it. And Rimzi has said it before, you know, oftentimes what women get is what they're training the man to give them, right? So if it is that being a romantic means knowing exactly what you want, and a man like me, I listen and I pay attention. And the moment I figure you out, down to the T, is the less I even feel like having certain conversations with you. So there is that balance.
That's not even a communication issue that we're facing here. And I think that's a difficulty most couples encounter, is we forget to do things that promoted healthy relationship and encourage us to participate in the relationship early on. And so we're a year in, 2 years in, 10 years in, and the relationship starts to feel stale because the things that we did in the beginning that were intentional attempts at connection, we decide that they're no longer necessary.
Yeah, actually, this is some fairy tale thing. People do grow out of each other in relationships. People do naturally get tired and bored of a relationship.
Why that happened?
Because one, the two persons can be at two different levels, at two different stages in their life.
But part of that, Karim, is a lack of communication. Mm-hmm. I teach this thing called love maps. Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar at all, probably not, with Gottman theory. It's one of the models I use in therapy a lot. And Gottman has love. He has love down to a science. He can observe a couple in a conversation for 10 minutes, and within seconds, he can tell if they're heading to divorce or not, accurately.
The four horsemen of relationships, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so part of it, one of the things that he emphasizes is learning your partner every single day. When you're dating, you talk about everything. You talk about what you did at work today. You talk about who you want to be. You talk about who you've been. You talk about who you think you are. You talk about who's in your life, who's not in your life, what you want, what you don't want, constantly in the beginning of a relationship. And what Gottman says is, just because you're now in the routine of life and you have five children and they're tiring you out and you have bills to pay and you have dishes to wash, does not mean you do not prioritize that time for connection. Your partner is constantly changing. You are constantly changing. And if you're not spending, if you're not investing the time to know who your partner is on that day, on a daily basis, you are not going to have that emotional connection.
And even when people grow apart, which is a good segue into the next question I want to ask. Like, even when people grow apart, I think we need to say these things. We need to convey these things. So the next thing is, how can we communicate those difficult things? How can we convey those not so easy things to our partner?
So you just mentioned the four horsemen from what I sent you earlier, Steph. Mm-hmm. And what Gottman says about the four horsemen is he calls them the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And when they enter a relationship, you know that communication is going to be ineffective. And part of the reason, the four horsemen: criticism, contempt, stonewalling, offensiveness. When things are difficult, and I've said this before, there is a positive request in every complaint. So if you can present your partner with the positive request, the positive behavior change that you want to see, without the complaint, without the criticism. So don't go to your partner and say, "Oh, we can't stand it when you come home and put your foot on the coffee table and watch TV."
Baby.
You go to them with the need that you have. You say, What's the need behind that? Is it that you're upset that he's sitting there? Are you upset that his feet are on the coffee table? Or are you upset that he's not spending that time with you? And so you go to him with the specific need and you say, hey, babe, like I know that this is your time to relax. You acknowledge his need. You acknowledge his perspective. I know that this is your time to relax, or you proceed it with a positive. I know you worked all day today and you're really tired, but right now I'd really love to spend time with you. The positive need. What I need is spend time with you. Right? Or maybe it's that I'm super tired. Maybe it's that I'm super tired and I'm starting to feel contempt that you just came home and decided you could just relax while I'm putting the baby to sleep, washing dishes, vacuuming the floor. And so what is the positive need there? You say, babe, I know you're tired, but I'm tired.
So you leave work and you go home to your spouse. That's another episode. Yep.
Continue, MJ. Positive needs. I love that. Right. So what is the positive need? So I'm tired too, right? So you go to him and you say, babe, I know you're tired. You had a long day at work. I'm super exhausted. Like, my day was really hard. And I believe that if we worked together at this, we would get done faster and we'd have more time to relax together.
Positive need. Relax together.
Well, that's our next thing.
Or and then what you said, Karim, and you said, Karim, you know, my positive need is that I need some me time. Is it all right if I compromise and meet part of your need? I can come help you do this one thing to take that off your list of things to do, and then I can have some me time.
Write that down, Karim.
No.
Right. So what is? How can you?
I'm not.
So how can you acknowledge?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
How can you acknowledge my need, my emotion? Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
What do you think seems to be the? Do you have? So I'm guessing you have repeat clients and all of that, and do you find that after being made aware of some of these techniques, communication techniques, do you find that people sometimes like falter with them?
Not too. I'm telling you, I teach this all the time, and I'm not perfect at it in my relationship. Being good at something takes intention and practice. So if I am flustered and upset and tired and I just burnt my hand on the stove cooking dinner, sometimes you're not in a place to be emotionally responsible.
I hear what you're saying, and it sounds very black and white to me, when really and truly it's very gray, because you don't take into consideration the different personalities within the relationship and how those personalities change at any given time. Perfect example, me. I have no problem being a loner, especially when I have a rough day or whatever the case. I just really don't want to hear that, and I wouldn't mind not even seeing nobody. Now, when I'm going to come home now and I've mentally prepared for the quote-unquote work because of how you just phrase it, To me, somebody else is different. I'm not overly emotional and sensitive, like probably Natu and all that, but I can have a long, stressful day, and then me know if we go home to a long, stressful day. So I feel like...
But you know what, though, Karen? That's what... I'm not saying you sign up for it, a long, stressful day when you go home, but that's what partnership is about. It is sharing the burdens of your life together. Right? And so, yes, you have your needs, but your wife also has her needs, and you both have to be able to communicate that to each other in a productive way so you can compromise so everybody gets a little bit of what they want.
See, and that has nothing to do with being sensitive or being emotional. That has everything to do with, but like, I've seen, just like MJ has said, in her... And ladies and gentlemen, I would like to take this opportunity to remind you yet again that this is a trained clinician who says sometimes she's not perfect at trying those methods. So what if it's about we, the commoners, who are not necessarily aware of some of these techniques that we can employ in our relationship?
What I've experienced, or should I say what has worked for my own relationships when it comes to communication, is having that open or safe space so that you can say what you want, right?
Mm.
Without having to overthink it. I'm not worried about how it comes out. And regardless of how it comes out and how it makes me feel, I am able to say mm-hmm. that. Let's hash it out in that raw and real way, right? And I've found that works, to know that you have that mm-hmm. avenue or that space to say how you feel without, as I said, a lot of, we're not perfect. And even for me, someone who teaches communication, I still learn about communication on a daily basis. But that open space to say, listen, I don't have to overthink how this is going to come out, and neither do you.
Mm-hmm.
We will, once it comes out, then we can work with it and we can work through it, right? And this is something that we can look back on and laugh at, right? But if it stays in, then we are building a relationship based on assumptions. We are building a relationship based on code, and none of us have the Rosetta Stone. Like, when people go to someone on the outside.
So you mentioned in a relationship where you can just say anything however you feel it, and then hash it out perfectly fine. What those relationships have is that they're bolstered by a lot of other positive experiences, right? And so when we have one difficult fight, we don't attribute it to being, to a personal character flaw, right? You can understand that I'm not going to be my best self every day because you've seen me be a really good version of myself quite often, right? What relationships that don't have that, the relationships where I feel I have to go share with my friend and complain and moan about you, is because I don't feel safe in communicating that to you. There's fear that it's going to cause conflict. There's fear that it's going to end up with me feeling not validated. There's fear that you are going to be hurt, and I don't know how to effectively navigate those situations.
I get that and I understand that.
I think we get that.
See, I'm
we understand you and we hear you collectively. To learn certain things that can help our own relationships and even the relationships of our listeners, I think is invaluable. So really just wanna thank you.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
And do you do virtual sessions?
Please don't send us a bill.
Right now, yes. But I haven't figured out how you do across waters therapy, how you do therapy across oceans legally.
Oh, so we technically are your first across the waters session. So we won't call it session. Wink, wink.
I didn't get paid, so...
Exactly, that's a loophole.
Technically not a session.
Loophole, that's the loophole.
Indeed.
So, MJ, Mrs. Sifra, thank you so very much for the session. She's a licensed...
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, man. She's a licensed clinician, marriage and family therapist. So, if there's any help that you might need, be honest and open with yourself, your spouse, significant other, and let's make the change.
Few moments later,
sounds like Karim could use some therapy sessions. So
me talk about the womanly part. That's what me talk about, the whole emotion shit and where it started.
But,
was
but as you is that not your responsibility as a husband?
Ruh-roh. What is it
here, you know?
It
too late, yeah.
Is acknowledging that as a husband, you have certain responsibilities. They're not always convenient.
What is it? Can't create no business in a phone.
Brother, I'm sitting on there, I look for the basketball score. I'm not getting
involved. Lovely weather we're having.
Free game.
We don't like it, no.
Yeah.
Love.
Anyways, Karen.
Free game.
Hey, man, I'm taking over there.
Yeah.
You know? MJ. The breeze are blowing.
Goodbye.